Yeah. So, this intimate relationship, this getting acquainted.
Yeah, everybody's looking at you, Mark. I noticed that all the eyes were right over there, and everybody started giggling.
So prayer is simply talking to God, and we need to realize that we've got two people living in one body. There's me, and there's God. Now, I talk to my wife. Things get kind of bad around the house. She don't talk to me, or I don't talk to her. We get upset. And it's going to upset your Christian life and your ministry if you get in a position that you can't talk to God, the one that lives in your heart. Now, he lives closer to you than anybody else. Now, so living inside our body, think about that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the way that the Apostle Paul put it. And maybe you don't like to be aware of that fact that somebody else is living in you, but he lives here. We live up here. This is where we think. This is where all of both of our senses are connected up here. We see from here. We smell. We speak. We hear. Even our sense of touch is governed by the nerves that are connected up here. This is our conscious being. The problem with so many of us, we live up here and we keep the Lord housed in down here. We need to move over and let him have a little room up here too. We need to let him move into upstairs. You see, a lot of people are about 12 inches off. So when he takes control of the heart, that's one thing. That's your Savior. But when you let him take control up here, that's letting him become the Lord of that life. And the only way you're going to do that is get acquainted with him and talk to him often. Let him move in. Now remember this. He lives in your heart, right? Hebrews 4 and 12 said he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Now that may frighten you just a little bit to think that he lives there and he knows what's in there to start with. So why do we want to put on a false front with the Lord when we talk to him? Well, he said, how in the world do I get to know the Lord? If it seems to be a threat to you, don't worry about it. He knows you at your worst and loves you anyway. See? He knows what's in your heart. He knows you at your worst and he loves you anyway. When I come back from Israel, I almost didn't know my wife. While I was gone, she went to the beauty parlor and the girl put the stuff on there and got on the phone, forgot about her, and it burst back by all my wife's hair. All I come home, she had hair about that long, all over her head. And I'd never seen my wife with red hair, but she had a wig on. She went on Sydney up in the airport with hair like that. I'd never recognized her. I wasn't looking for Kojak when I got off the plane. It's blowing back out now, but they was there a few days. I thought I was going to have to get... be acquainted. It didn't take me long. But you know what? The Lord's close. He's close. He's closer to me than my hands, my feet, and my heart. And we can just picture the Lord and enjoy him any time. You know, just let your imagination. I'm sure we all got pictures of what the Lord looks like. You may picture him as an old gray-haired man. A lot of pictures picture him as like a Superman, some with beard, some without, long hair, short hair. Everybody's got their pictures. Brother Jones thinks he's black and he's a watermelon. But that's fine. Is that a good picture of him? Amen. And like you, huh? All right. And Brother Johnson's convinced that he speaks with an Australian accent. See? So we all have our picture of what the Lord looks like. So that's fine. Get acquainted with the Lord. And, you know, that's not hard. My mother lives up the other side of San Francisco, and she calls on the phone, and I sit there and kind of visualize in my mind while I'm talking to her what Mom looks like, you know. Yeah, in my mind, I can visualize her size, her hair, her features, and so why should I not be able to do the same when I talk to the Lord? Well, he's not in San Francisco. He's very, very close at hand. Now, Moses did that. You remember when he was dealing with Pharaoh over there in Egypt, what Scripture says? That he drew power and he drew strength, seeing the invisible one. So we need to do that. There have been a lot of times I've been preaching up before a crowd, and I just said, Lord, give me strength, and just kind of close my eyes and just visualize him right there. But too many of us, we have the idea out of sight, out of mind. I've never seen God with these eyes. I've beheld him many times with this heart.
I've held it many times in the Word. We need that close attachment. David said, I foresaw the Lord always. Where'd you see him, David? I saw him on the battlefield when I fought him, fought Goliath. I seen him when I was on my porch and I prayed, purged me with hyssop and so on. I saw him many, many times. But, you know, to stop and talk to a person that's not there, they might think you're a little bit loony, so I don't suggest you go walking up down the street talking to the Lord, in an audible voice. But you know, a few weeks ago I had my little girl in the dentist's office and they had an emergency, so we had to wait about 15, 20 minutes. Like most doctor's offices, you go in, the magazines are all 2 or 3 years old, and I wasn't real interested in reading Good Housekeeping or How to Grow a Garden since I didn't have one. So what did I do? I just kind of sat back in my chair and closed my eyes and imagined my secret place. You say, your secret place? Yeah, I got a secret place, just me and the Lord, you know? And I furnish it, and it's where I want to be. You can have your own. But mine's a little one rude mountain cabin way up in the hill with a little stream, pine trees, clean air, out of the smog, not being bothered by any of y'all here asking me crazy questions. It's just me and the Lord. I can close my eyes and I can visualize that little cabin and that mountain stream. And it's easy for me to just go another step and imagine just me and the Lord. It's kind of like a fellow was a Catholic monk. His name was Brother Lawrence. And he wrote a book. And I guess you can still buy it. I've seen it in a few of the bookstores. I really went looking for it. But he first went to the monastery for training. They gave him the job of cleaning up the kitchen, rubbing the pots and pans, mopping the floor and all of that. Now, about 300 years ago is when this took place, so you know back then they didn't have SOS pads in those days, so when you scrub pots and pans, it was elbow grease. Well, he complained and groaned and griped about his job that he had surrendered to do the will of the Lord, and there he was mopping floors and scrubbing pots and pans, and one day while he was grumbling, he imagined the Lord standing there listening to him gripe and grumble. And then he imagined the Lord laughing at him about his griping and grumbling. And as he was scrubbing the pots and pans, he said the next natural step was to imagine the Lord on the other side of the sink. And he said, pretty soon the Lord had his hands in the water with me. And he said, pretty soon the task I used to hate, I begin to love. Because I found out the Lord would do it with me. You know, that's something we need to realize, that even some of those things that through the flesh that we don't like. And you know, I talked to some of the members about this about a week ago, and I had several of them coming to me last night, and he said, Brother Crouch, you know that works. He says, I find that I get my housework done fast as quiet now. She says, because I imagine the Lord straightening up the covers on the other side of the bed. I imagine the Lord helping me dust while I'm vacuuming. And she says, I'm there all by myself. And she said, I found I don't need the stereo on or the TV on. She says, I'm talking to the Lord. She says, if one of my neighbors ever walks up and looks in the windows, they're going to think I'm crazy. What you doing? You're getting acquainted with the Lord. Now remember this. Since he lives in your heart, you don't have to put on a false front with the Lord. When I go into my wife, she's been living with me for 17 years, I go in there and I'm just me. I kick off my shoes, loosen up my tie, sit down, get a cup of coffee, and it's, hello, honey, hi, Donna, how was your day? Hello, sweetheart. Put on this change of my voice, and now my dear heavenly wife, she's sick. What you been drinking, boy? But yet, we talk like this, and all of a sudden somebody calls on us to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I come as humbly as I know how. Why do we want to put on this big hypocrisy with God? Why can't we talk to Him like we do any other friend or close acquaintance? I think that's the problem. That's why a lot of our prayers don't get any further than right up there. It's because we've never really just reached out and got acquainted with this God and found out how personal and how close and how really real and satisfying that personal touch with Him can be. Doing a job or or whatever it is, we need to realize that His presence is there. Now, so many of us, we look at prayer as an interruption, right? We get up, and the wife hollers, breakfast on the table, and it's all hot. Well, wait a minute, we've got to have prayer. But if I pray, my eggs are going to get cold. It's an interruption. In the middle of your day, you get to work, and maybe you're running a machine, you're typing, you're whatever you're doing, mopping floors or working, whatever your job. Boy, I need to talk to the Lord, but if I stop what I'm doing and go off and kneel and pray and get this big air about me now, I won't talk to the Lord, so the Lord ain't going to talk to me while I'm off the floor. Why not? He's living in your heart. He's right there. Prayer should not be an interruption. But prayer should become a part of our everyday life. If it has to interrupt your natural scheme, then something's wrong. You should be able to talk to the Lord, you ladies, when you're doing your grocery shopping, when you're doing your laundry, even when you're changing your baby sizes. You know when I talk to the Lord a lot? It's when I'm driving in the car by myself. And you're going to find that preachers do that, you're going to end up doing that a lot out by yourself. I imagine Brother Phillips has a lot of talks with the Lord coming over the grapevine. If he don't, he's probably not going to make it over there one of these times. But I find myself doing that, you know, and I know the Lord had to be with me. Because there was one day I was going down the freeway, and I've lived out there now for 6 years. I know that area very well. And I was going to the mall, supposed to turn off on Vincent Avenue, just three streets up from the off-ramp to go to my house. I got on the freeway, and I got to thinking about a situation in the church, and got to talking to the Lord, and scripture going through my mind, and traffic. I didn't hit anybody. Nobody honked at me or anything. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and I was going under the 605 freeway. Well, the turnoff I wanted was 5 miles behind me. I never even realized when I passed it or them other streets. And you know what? I said, thank you, Lord. Man, because I knew that it was only by the grace of the Lord I'd made it those miles. Because I was so busy and engrossed in talking to Him. I guess I really forgot where I was at. Anyway, I looked around. And I kept talking to him, but I kept one eye on the road and offering it to him. But we need to make him a part of our daily routine. Take him to that secret place. Furnish it however you want it. David said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So go there. Get acquainted with the Lord. Prayer is a challenging thing, and that's when you get on a one-to-one basis. I remember a young lady we used to have in our church one night. We had a youth meeting, and my son called on her to open a youth meeting. She'd only been saved for a little while, but the way she talked to the Lord just really blessed my heart, because I think a lot of times we as older Christians, we get the idea that we have to put on an air or something when we come to the Lord, and you don't. He already knows you, so why be a phony? But she just started the prayer. I remember she didn't bow her head, she didn't close her eyes or anything. She didn't even stand up. She's sitting there on our couch. And he said, Penny, would you open in prayer? She just started. Well, Lord, you look around the room as good as I can. You see who's here. You know. Everybody looks over there. She's praying already. She kept, you know, this is a prayer. And the more I thought about it, yeah, why can't we just be open like that? Why do we have to put on this big false front? The Lord was there. He could see who was there. And she went on and she says, Brother Lord, we don't have to thank you for this young people group, because the Bible says we're a heritage of the Lord, so we're just thankful you allowed us to be here. I mean, no changing of voice. You'd like, she could see the Lord sitting out there in the middle of the floor, and she was talking to us. And every once in a while, she would pause and nod her head like the Lord had answered something back, you know. And at first, I thought, And then the more I thought about it, I thought, boy, out of the mouth of babes, simplicity. And that prayer probably come closer to the heart of God. Some of these were, we got to use all this smooth euphemism, because you know who we generally pray to satisfy? Not the Lord. We want to make sure it sounds good to everybody that's listening to it. Got to use the right phrase. Got to make the words all come out in perfect euphemism. You know, it just got to be so smooth. Get that. Talk to the Lord like you would a close friend, because He's closer than a brother. He'll answer you. The closer you can get get to God, so that he's going to get to you. So as young ministers, make prayer a very active part of your life. Get close to God, and you'll find out something. Through prayer, you talk to God. Through this, he'll talk to you. He's never going to answer you apart from his word. So don't pray to him apart from his word. You remember in Acts, what was one of the reasons that he said, get us some deacons? So that the apostles might spend more time in what? Prayer and the word. You need that time, fellas. You should start your every day and end your every day talking to the Lord that put you in the city. You should talk to him during the day. Some of you guys that go in there and Brother Kraut says, test today, you know,
we don't have a test tomorrow. You're going to review today. You're going to give us all the answers.
I tell you, those of you in hermeneutics, I warn you now, we're going to have a test tomorrow. I suggest you talk to the Lord about it, because you talk to me, all you, that it's going to do any good. Imagine the Lord sitting there with you. Maybe that test won't be quite so burdensome, right? You know, there's been times as pastors that I have difficult messages. I mean, difficult from a fleshly standpoint. They were trying, burdensome because of the need. Rather preach on something else. I like to preach on the love of the Lord, the second coming. There's times you got to preach on discipline. You got to bust sin. And that hurts sometimes as a pastor. And at those times is when, a lot of times I went in the pulpit in tears, but I sat there on the podium. Sometimes my wife will say, how come you never sing during that last song? I'm off on my little mountain cabin, just me and the Lord. My song leader, I've already told him that if you finish that song and I don't stand up, go ahead and call someone to lead in prayer or sing another song. I'm not ready. It's been a lot of times during a sermon I felt the thing wasn't going the way it ought to. Even while I was preaching, my mind would go to that secret place and thought, oh Lord, pray. And all of a sudden, it just seems like a new surge of strength. And all of a sudden, that message begins to take shape. Why? Because you turned it over to the Lord. So, fellas, do that. Turn your life over to the Lord. The best way to do that is get acquainted with it. You're going to find out the Lord's not a God that's far off. He's got to close his hand. He's got his hand out. He wants you to reach out and take that hand. He wants to get acquainted with you. He knows you. Thing is, he wants you to get acquainted with him. He wants to find out, wants you to learn his love, that he's tender, compassionate, he is gentle. He's got a sense of humor. He'll cry with you. He'll laugh with you. He'll share your burdens with you. And he'll share your joy with you. So think about those things, and I think that they'll help you. We've got a couple of minutes.
Amen. Amen.